Welcome to The Spot, KALW's weekly space for the best in public radio podcasts and storytelling. I'm your host, Ashley Ann Krigbaum. It's been over 75 years since Orson Welles brought H.G. Welles' War of the Worlds to public airwaves.
Wait a minute, something's happening. Humped shape is rising out of the pit. I can make out a small beam of light against a mirror.
When I hear the term radio drama, it's this recording that blinks into my mind first, always.
Lord, they're turning into flames!
But radio drama as a genre began even earlier, in the 1920s, and by the time Orson was inspiring intergalactic melees in 1938, radio dramas were a leading form of popular entertainment worldwide.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? The shadow knows.
Here on KALW, we host a few shows that bring fiction to life on air, like LA Theater Works on Friday evenings and selected shorts on Sunday afternoons. But outside of syndicated radio programs like those, there's a whole world of radio drama happening independently right now, underground from the radio mainstream and distributed via podcasts. Because there aren't time limits with a podcast, the majority of the radio dramas out there can have really long episodes, which is pretty great, but they're mostly too long for me to share in the 29 minutes we have on the spot. So for today's show, I've limited my choice to two different fiction podcasts that produce single-standing, shorter episodes. The Truth is a show that continually surprises me. Their fictional radio stories are inventive and sound rich, and generally veer into themes about what our near futures could look like based on current non-fictional trends in science and technology. Their tagline is true. They make movies for your ears. In this episode of The Truth, they imagine a future world where work is rare and the party never ends.
A long time ago, back in the 21st century, what did our ancestors do with their time? They worked. Some of them worked so much they came up with a name for it. Workaholic. And just as we've set ourselves free from prejudice, free from war, free from every known form of cancer, we've also set ourselves free from work. Technological progress has made society so efficient that you never need to work a day in your life. We solved all of our economic problems a long time ago, and here we are. Your only problem now is to figure out what to do with your time. You're living in the age of leisure. You walk down the street, and what do you see? You see social clubs and coffee houses, galleries, theaters, music venues, happenings. The world is full of art, and relaxation, and joy.
The hottest nightclub in town is the old New York Stock Exchange. There are so many parties going on that we need designated quiet zones.
Which is easy with our noise cancellation technology. Here, listen to this. Pretty neat, huh?
Yeah.
Why aren't you out there?
I'm just finishing up some work.
Dad, it's my birthday.
I'll be right there.
My friends want to meet you.
Guilt trip received.
Whatever your heart's desire, it's available and accessible to anyone, anytime. And it's all thanks to the automation system I help maintain. I work for quality control.
Keeping our jobless rate above 90% is a full-time job.
My specialty is robotics, mostly alignment and replacement. I help keep our society in perfect working order, so everyone stays happy, safe, and comfortable.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Quality Control.
The robots need to do their jobs, and that's our job. We're Quality Control.
Time to wake up. Time to wake up. Time to wake up.
Thanks, Coco.
Good morning, David.
I do this job so that Everyone else can spend their day doing exactly what their heart desires. And when I get up in the morning, I look outside and I see people relaxed, throwing a frisbee, enjoying their lives. What I see is a well-oiled machine. And I'm just proud to know that I helped make that possible. That's odd.
Hey, where did this come from?
Dad, I'm trying to sleep.
Are you gonna sleep your life away? Come on, where'd you get this music box?
It was a birthday present.
Are you gonna go back to sleep or are you gonna talk to me?
I'm gonna go back to sleep, okay?
No, wrong answer. Who gave this to you?
Dexter.
Dexter? Dexter who? Do I know him?
Dexter Batson. Why do you care?
Because it's broken. Here, listen. Listen to this.
Dad.
Wait.
Dad,
do you hear that?
No.
It's defective.
You're overreacting.
I'm gonna have to file a report. I need to take this.
Dad, no! Come on!
It's my job.
Have you ever looked inside of a music box? It's a beautiful piece of machinery. Simple. Every little piece has a specific purpose. There's a crank that spins a roller, and on the roller there's these little dimples that each pluck a different note. It's problems like these that cause chain reactions, push entire factories into meltdown. I've seen it before. What if all the music boxes are like this?
None of my music boxes are like this.
But you make all the music boxes.
Yeah, but my robots didn't make this.
You're not making any sense.
Now, I'm the Minister of Novelties. I'm the only person who works here, so if anyone would know...
All right, well, if your robots didn't make this, then where did it come from?
Why don't you tell me? You're the one that marched in here with it.
Listen, this is not a joke. We have regulations for a reason. If there's an alignment problem in this factory, I'll shut the whole thing down.
Maybe you made this music box. Can you prove that?
No, somebody gave it to my daughter.
So you're trying to pass the buck, make it my problem instead of your problem.
I'm trying to get to the bottom of this.
I'll call law enforcement.
Oh, whoa.
If anyone needs to worry here, it's you, pal.
No. It came from a guy named Dexter Batson.
Well, maybe you should be talking to Dexter then.
Coco, I'm looking for anything we've got on a music box purchased by Dexter Batson.
No records found.
What do we know about Dexter Batson? Oh my, look at this. Arrests, disobedience, protests. Oh, this guy's not dating my daughter, that's for sure. Do we have his current location?
Dexter Batson is currently at the Wasteland Poetry Club, located at 4 Irving Place.
Isn't technology wonderful?
Many mirrored butterflies taking their time, taking my time, ticking away the time. This is the thing. We can't get back.
Do you know Dexter Batson?
What?
You heard Dexter Batson?
Chill, man.
Oh, sorry.
Ambulance jukebox. Shame-faced Aretha in a soup.
But do you know where Dexter is?
He's probably in back.
Hello? Is there anybody down? Hello?
Excuse me, is there a Dexter Batson? What is this? Is that a hammer? Is that a lathe? Are you making handmade goods? We have robots for this. This is dangerous and entirely illegal. Everybody, put your tools down. Put that drill down. Step away from these workstations. I'm from quality control. I'm shutting this down. Where is Dexter Batson?
Excuse me, I can help you find Dexter Batson.
Who's in charge here?
Please follow me, and I'm sure Dexter...
Nobody touch those machines while I'm gone.
You're David Kirsch, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
This is just a huge honor.
Are you taking me to your supervisor?
Right through this door, please, Mr.
Through here?
Mm-hmm.
Can you turn on the light in here? Hey, hello? Can somebody turn on the light, please? Hey, unlock this door. What is going on? Somebody please turn on the light.
Why are you looking for Dexter Batson?
Could you please turn on the light?
Why are you looking for Dexter?
Are you Dexter Batson?
You don't need to know who I am.
I know what you people are doing.
What do you think we're doing?
You're operating an illegal facility that manufactures unregulated man-made goods.
You need to let us continue.
Who are you people?
We're the John Henry Society.
Well, John Henry, what you're doing is illegal, and it's putting the entire system at risk. And I'm shutting you down.
Do you own a cat, David?
What?
And a long time ago, we used to keep cats around because they would hunt for mice. Eventually, human beings invented mouse traps, but cats still needed to hunt. Cats have to hunt mice, that's what they do. It's in their nature. So, we invented toys to keep the cats occupied. Mylar ribbon to tackle, laser pointers to chase around.
Okay, is there a point to this story?
Look around, David. Our entire world today is just a world of laser pointers and Mylar ribbon and no meaning whatsoever.
We live in a society where disease has been eradicated. There's no more war. There's no more prejudice. People are free.
What are they doing with all the freedom that they have?
Whatever they want. It's freedom.
You can't free people from their nature.
And you think their nature is to work?
Cats need to chase mice.
This is crazy.
What do you think would happen if we went away?
The world would be a safer place. The system would run more efficiently.
You have no idea how widespread this is, David. We have people in every strata of society. We have products on every level of daily life.
I don't believe this at all. I spend all day looking through the entire system, trying to find imperfections.
Why do you think you're so busy? Where are all these imperfections coming from? Coding? Software? The fact is, you need us.
It's my responsibility to report all of this. It's entirely illegal and irresponsible.
Forget about us. Just drop this entire line of pursuit.
You're asking me to not do my job.
If you won't let us do our work, then you won't have a job to do.
Law enforcement has busted what they are calling a major underground manufacturing ring. This comes after an investigation initiated by Quality Control's David Kirsch.
It's far-reaching. We found branches of it in almost every major city.
Several high-ranking members have been arrested, and surveillance has been upgraded.
It's going to keep our children safer. It's going to keep our society running smoother. The John Henry Society can no longer terrorize us with their substandard goods.
And now, back to the weather. Sunny skies are expected for the rest of the month as our weather stabilization algorithms continue to keep our global climate in perfect balance.
Congratulations! Our product malfunction rate has fallen by 98%.
98%? Are you sure? That's incredible.
Your capture of the resistance operatives was quite effective.
Great, well, what do we have next?
I can book a trip, schedule a massage.
No, I want to keep going. We're on a roll.
You have no outstanding work assignments.
Excuse me? Okay, can you please, let me see the activity log for all the current malfunctions.
The malfunction log is empty, but I can book a trip, schedule a massage, reserve a ping pong table.
Coco, what's going on?
May I suggest a day at the beach? The forecast is sunny, with a high of 85. It's going to be a lovely day.
Still working?
Hold on, almost done.
The tireless tinkerer continues to tinker.
Give me a second, I'm almost done. See? Look. Complete.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Give it a go.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. It's perfect.
The Last Job was produced and written by Jonathan Mitchell with help from David Kestenbaum and the rest of the team at NPR's Planet Money. It also featured performances by Peter McNerney, Lewis Kornfeld, Rebecca Robles, India Kotis, Dave Hill, Alex Marino, Phoebe Tyers, Rupert Degas, and TJ Mannix. The story was inspired by an essay written by John Maynard Keynes in 1930 titled Economic Possibilities for Our Grandchildren. You can subscribe to The Truth now on iTunes or check them out at thetruthpodcast.com. You're listening to The Spot, the show that features the best stories from podcasts and independent radio producers. I'm Ashley Ann Krigbaum. The Truth recently produced a special story to contribute to the new fiction podcast, Serendipity. This podcast was launched to distribute the most inventive selections from the Sarah Awards, an initiative of Sarah Lawrence College that celebrates and rewards the best audio fiction from around the world. And right now, they want you to create and submit your own short radio drama to the Sarah Awards. But before I tell you more about that, take a listen to episode 1 of Serendipity, titled Every Heart Has a Limited Amount of Heartbeats. This piece is a beautiful meditation on memory and love, but it's a dark one too that considers both death and life, and it might be a bit intense for young kids.
In our first episode, a man and a woman meet out of pure chance on the streets in Brooklyn and in Martin. Two people, one meeting, and their lives are changed forever. Read it slower.
Yeah.
This is Serendipity. In our first episode, a man and a woman meet out of pure chance on a street in Brooklyn and in Martin. Two people, one meeting, and their lives are changed forever. This is Serendipity.
So why are you here in New York?
I was going to meet this woman.
Oh, it's nice to meet you.
What's your name, by the way?
Anne.
Come here, look at this.
I awoke this morning with a sense of loss.
I guess I followed my heart and it didn't turn out well.
Why?
I thought of you.
Yeah, but then you met me.
Yeah, I met you. And I said hi.
Hi.
I opened my eyes and looked at the ceiling. White. Everything in Stockholm is so white.
Could I have some of your Coke?
Yeah.
This is not Coke.
It's like eighth grade Coke and whiskey.
Are you walking around with a Diet Coke with whiskey? Who are you?
Why not?
I've been dreaming about you.
You want to go for a drink?
Yeah. At first, though, I wanted you to meet this guy.
Okay.
This is my tour.
Oh,
my rules.
Okay.
My tour, my rules.
Okay.
You're funny.
The sound of your feet against the pavement, the rhythm like a dance.
Oh, come here.
Life plays tricks on you.
I want to show you something.
But this night, I dreamt about Alan in the carpet store.
The store's been here since 1948.
How is everything going?
I'm here 33 years. Long time.
He was leaning closer.
I have a good question to ask you. Can you name three people that you know, including your parents, that still walk and hold hands and still in love? Marriage is hard. Think about it.
He told me about finding a home for the time that you will die.
Where's your wife gonna get buried?
Well, I'm Jewish and she's Catholic. She's going one way and I'm going the other.
How does she feel about it?
Not well, but I hear she is now.
Do you know when you will die, Anne?
Yeah, 2 minutes, see you.
When can I see you again?
Since I was a child, I've had a sense that I'll drown, that the ocean will pull me down and leave nothing of me for anyone to find.
Oh, I'm gonna miss you.
Where I come, you don't buy funeral plots. You just get one.
Makes life a little easier.
Yeah. So when you die, you just die.
I guess this is goodbye.
No! Like, for really, like, be careful. You're gonna fall in and it's gonna be bad.
Think so?
Yes! Like, really don't. Oh god, don't do that. Okay, I'm nervous now. Really nervous.
I don't think I told you, but I was born on an island. An island in the middle of the Baltic Sea. And on the hill, looking over the shut-down, abandoned petrol station and a bay is the church, the White Church. And there, generation after generations of the ones that I once knew lie. All the cemetery stones all face one direction. All the dead are buried with their feet against the ocean, the horizon, to the east. They're waiting for the day of reckoning. The day when they will rise and walk once again reborn. And I thought of them now, this morning, in a cold and dark Stockholm. I thought of all those I've lost and started to forget. And I got this urge, a small insistent urge to pick up the phone and call them, the ones that no longer live, and lift them up. Hold them in my hands and show them the light of day and see if the memories of them are as they truly are or if they slowly have turned into dreams like this. 7 seconds just passed.
Good morning, and how are you?
Thing about memory, I think people...
It's 20 seconds of your life that will never reappear.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Every heart stops.
20 seconds is 35 heartbeats.
Thing about memory, I think people have kind of this misconception that memory is like a tape recorder.
A memory.
No, where's the next guy?
Tape recorder.
This man... He drank cleaning detergent once when he was drunk and his body closed down.
Coming now? Sam?
Every heart stops beating after a certain amount of heartbeats.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Oh,
ow. Close your eyes. Every heart stops.
Oh, I'm sorry, I know I'm doing... I think this is difficult for the moment.
Until it stops.
Tells his life story.
Like the man who's speaking. He closed the door to his garage, put a piece of cloth in the exhaust pipe and put a brick on the gas pedal and rested his head against the steering wheel and disappeared until it gives up.
35 heartbeats are lost.
Let's start again. Do you want
to...
He's just napping in his chair. He'll be so excited. Hold on. Here, let me do this for you and let you sit up.
Good morning, and how are you?
137 seconds just passed.
99 years old now, and I feel I owe it to the world, so to speak, to set the record straight.
Every heart stops.
The thing about memory, I think people have kind of this misconception that memory is like a tape recorder.
Have you ever seen the movie Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind? Yeah, okay, so that was based on my initial findings.
It's not. Memory is like a...
Once the memory is wired into their brain, it shouldn't be sensitive to anything. When you remember something...
Every heart has a set amount of heartbeats before it stops.
Like the man who's speaking right now. This man, he drank cleaning detergent once when he was drunk and his body closed down. And disappeared. I remember his eyes. I remember the smell of cigarettes in his breath.
It causes memory to become unstored.
Every heart stops.
And it has to be restored, and then we could block it.
every time a memory is retrieved,
it stops.
You've been listening to Serendipity, a podcast produced by Anne Hepperman and Martin Johnson. The fiction piece you just heard was called Every Heart Has a Limited Amount of Heartbeats by Martin Johnson. The music is by the band Odore. I'm Alan Temkin. The Sarah celebrates radio drama for the 21st century. Check us out at thesarahawards.com. There you can listen to inspiring work. Learn how you can make audio fiction of your own and take part in our revolution. TheSarahAwards.com. Goodbye.
Yes, that's great.
As Alan mentioned right then, the Sarah Awards are inviting you to join their audio fiction revolution by creating and sharing your own short fictional radio stories. You can find out tips on how to produce a fiction piece at their website, thesarahawards.com. Also, they're accepting submissions for their very, very short stories contest from now until October 15th. All of the info about the Sarah Awards and how to subscribe to the Serendipity podcast can be found at thesarahawards.com.
Listen to my heart. Can't you hear it pound? It only happens, baby, when you're around. And it goes boom, 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 boom.
That's it for today's episode of The Spot. You can find this episode and more at kalw.org. And tell me what you want to hear on The Spot. If you have a suggestion for a podcast we should feature, please drop me a line at thespot@kalw.org. Also, if you end up creating your own radio drama, I would absolutely love to hear it. Send it along to the same email address, thespot@kalw.org. And tune in next Thursday, same time, for another episode of The Spot, only on KALW San Francisco.